Good morning. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles this morning to Acts chapter 7, Acts chapter 7, in just a moment we are going to look at the three stages in the life of Moses. I'm glad that you're here, and it's good that we can have an opportunity to come together to worship God. It's good to be back with you, having been out of town for a period of time. I appreciate Daniel and Kyle preaching in my absence. I've been able to hear some of those lessons, and I appreciate them doing that. Good lessons on running the Christian race and the Old Testament feasts and sacrifices that are likened unto Christ, and appreciate those men doing that for me and in my place. Of course, you know that we have our Vacation Bible School coming up this week, Lord willing, each evening. We're going to be looking at the life of Moses, primarily at his meekness in various aspects of his life. And I thought this morning I'd like to do an overview of the life of Moses and use Stephen as our outline. As a good gospel preacher should, Stephen makes three points on the life of Moses. And so I can't improve on that, and I'll be using Stephen as our guide this morning. It's good to be back with you. We had a good service with the brethren last week at Las Vegas Drive. I've known Joe Price for many, many years, very good gospel preacher. But I wanted to mention to you that on Sunday morning, the man that got up, the brother in the church that got up, and did the opening announcements and led the singing was completely blind. So he approached the front of the building with his walking stick, and he did all of the announcements and all of the song leading completely blind. And you don't see that very often, but I think about members of the church who are committed and faithful and love the Lord, and they want to keep serving if they can, and they don't want to let any kind of a handicap get in the way. And I was very impressed by that, especially the song leading, all done from memory. But that brother said something that I wanted to share with you, and then we'll get on with our lesson this morning. He said that at this time of the year, there's a lot of church members who are away, and they leave for various reasons. A lot of times they'll leave for vacation, and he said sometimes church members will leave us and go away to escape the heat. And then he said, but I hope that they are faithful to the Lord wherever they go so that they can escape the other heat. And you don't hear that very often, and I wanted to share that with you. I'm glad he said that. We need, you know, it's okay to escape the heat, but we need to be living in such a way that we escape the other heat. And we need to be faithful to the Lord in vacation time and summertime and that kind of thing. Very good thought. In our scripture reading this morning in Deuteronomy 34 and verse 7, the text says that Moses was 120 years old when he died. And we're going to consider the outline of his life this morning from the sermon that Stephen preaches in Acts chapter 7. Stephen places the life of Moses into three stages of 40 years of peace. And we're going to use that as our outline this morning, and we're going to notice that in these three stages of his life, Moses answers three critical questions that come up in life. Who am I? Where am I? And what am I? The life of Moses that we're going to be looking at this week is not just about maybe some favorite aspect. We all have our favorite parts in his life. Some like to talk about baby Moses in the basket. And then there's the part about the burning bush. That makes a good story. And there's the 10 plagues. And then later the giving of the 10 commandments. And we all have our favorite parts in the life of Moses that we like to talk about. But what I want to do this morning is to consider his whole life was making choices that are important in life. We all have our individual parts that we like, but I want us to consider his whole life of 120 years and how he made important choices to serve God, and how all of us here this morning we have these exact same questions that we need to answer in our life. They're unavoidable questions. A lot of questions in life we don't have to answer, but we have to answer these questions. Who am I? Where am I? And what am I? So let's turn to Acts chapter 7 and let's consider a portion of Stephen's sermon this morning. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen, of course, is giving a defense of what he has been falsely charged with. If you look at the latter part of Acts chapter 6, beginning in verse 8 through the end of the chapter, Stephen is falsely accused of some things. And there are four things that are mentioned here. These are the four things that he's going to deal with in his sermon. If you're taking notes, Stephen's sermon is not just a random sermon on the history of Israel. He starts with Abraham and he comes up to Solomon's temple. It's not just a random sermon on a portion of Old Testament history. Stephen is answering four accusations. Three of them, he's accused of speaking against something, and then the fourth one, he is for something. So if you read the last part of chapter 6, he's accused of speaking against Moses. Number 2, he's accused of speaking against the law, the old law. Number 3, he's accused of speaking against the temple or this holy place. And then number 4, he's accused of being for Jesus of Nazareth. So he's against these three things and he's for this fourth thing. These four things are going to be the very things that Stephen addresses in his sermon. It's not just a random sermon on Old Testament history. He will address the accusation of Moses, the law, the temple, and Jesus Christ. We're going to be focusing this morning on the portion dealing with Moses. So if you'll come with me to Acts chapter 7, and Carlin, if you wouldn't mind, I think my glasses are back in my office somewhere. If you wouldn't mind grabbing those, I'm sorry about that. I think they're back there around my computer. We're going to pick up the reading in Acts chapter 7 and verse 17. And we're going to see how that Stephen mentions three sections of 40 years apiece. These are the three stages in the life of Moses. Stage 1, we're going to see that he is in Egypt. He's growing up as a prince of Egypt. In stage 2, he's out in the land of Midian as a shepherd for his father-in-law, Reuel, or Jethro. In the third stage of his life, he is leading Israel out of Egypt, thank you, to the promised land. But it's not just an interesting life. It is a man who is answering three important critical questions in life that we must answer today. Let's pick up the sermon in Acts chapter 7 and verse 17. But as the time of the promise, that is the promise that God had made to Abraham in Genesis 12 and other places, as that promise drew near, God vouchsafed unto Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt. This is Exodus chapter 1. Till there arose another king over Egypt, or a Pharaoh who knew not Joseph. The same dealt craftily with our race and ill-treated our fathers, that they should cast out their babies to the end that they might not live. Exodus chapter 1. At which season Moses was born, Exodus chapter 2, and was exceeding fair, and he was nourished 3 months in his father's house. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was instructed in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in words and works. But when he was well nigh 40 years old, so here's our first of three sets of 40. 3 times 40 is 120. That's how long Moses lived. So the first section of his life, 40 years, is growing up as a prince in Egypt. It came into his heart to visit the brethren, the children of Israel, and seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed, smiting the Egyptian. And he supposed that his brethren understood that God, by his hand, was giving them deliverance or being a redeemer. But they understood not. And the day following, he appeared unto them as they strove and would have set them at one again, saying, Sirs, you are brethren, why do you do wrong one to another? But he did his neighbor wrong, thrusting him away, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Would you kill me as thou killed the Egyptian yesterday? And Moses fled at the saying and became a sojourner in the land of Midian, where he begat two sons, Gershom and Eliezer. Stage one, from birth, or actually 3 months to age 40, he's a prince in Egypt. And during this period of time, he's answering the question, who am I? What do I mean by that? What I mean by that is, he's answering the question, I've been adopted by Pharaoh's daughter. Am I going to be a prince in Egypt? And am I going to let Egypt be my life now? Or am I going to be an Israelite and do what God wants? We all have to answer the question, brethren, who am I? I don't mean, am I a male or a female? I don't mean, am I a human or an animal? I mean, who am I in the sense of, who do I belong to? We all have to ask that question and answer that in our life. If you want to hold your hand here in Acts chapter 7, we're going to be going back and forth between the book of Exodus and Acts chapter 7. You can go back and you can see the story there that in Exodus chapter 1, 8 through 22, Moses is born at a difficult time when there is a Pharaoh who knows not Joseph and oppresses the Israelites and wants the male children killed. In chapter 2, he is born to faithful parents. Their faith is mentioned. Amram and Jochebed, Exodus 6:20. Their faith is mentioned in Hebrews 11:23. He had faithful parents, and they did not fear the commandment of the king. They would not kill their son. Later, he kills an Egyptian, and Pharaoh wanted to kill him, and so he fled into Midian, chapter 2, 11 through 15. But Stephen brings up a very, very important point. Look at Acts chapter 7 and verse 22. He was instructed in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and works. Brethren, he had to make a choice. Am I going to be the prince of Egypt, and am I going to allow Egypt to be my home, or am I going to go out and be what God wants me to be? Well, I become what I've learned. I've learned all of the Egyptian reading and the Egyptian writing and Egyptian philosophy and Egyptian religion and science and mathematics and history and the fine arts. And Egypt has beautiful buildings and the food is really good. And I've got a position of power and prominence here. Who am I? Moses could have said, I am now the prince of Egypt. I am now someone who is going to immerse myself in this Egyptian worldliness around me. Will I remain a prince of Egypt with all the wealth and the worldliness and the power that goes with that? Or will I continue to be an Israelite and follow the one true God? You cannot do both. You cannot do both. And today, brethren and friends, we cannot do both. We cannot be in the world and in the church. We cannot say, well, I'm a worldly person, but I'm also a Christian. We've got to answer the question, who am I? Who do I belong to? And Moses answered that question properly. He said, I'm an Israelite. And that's first and foremost, and I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'm not going to go with the wisdom of the Egyptians and mighty in words and works and all of the worldliness and all of the things that go along with Egypt. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to refuse that. How do I know that? Turn with me now to Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Moses made a choice. By faith, Moses chose to leave those things behind. He's answering the question in his mind, who am I? I am not an Egyptian prince. I am a child of God. And so we read in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a goodly child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. And we need to be thinking about that today in our modern society. By faith Moses, when he was born, by faith Moses, verse 24, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to share ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin in Egypt for a season. He made a choice. Who am I? And that's a question and a choice we must all make today. Look at verse 26. Accounting the reproach of Christ. The Hebrew writer is not saying that Christ was living back in the time of Moses and Christ is being reproached back then in the time of Moses. He's saying that Moses was willing to go through what Christ went through. The whole book of Hebrews is about Christ is the better way. And so Christ is brought up different times throughout the book of Hebrews. And just as Christ was reproached, and we've been studying that in our class, in his trials and other ways leading to the cross, Moses was willing to undergo those same kinds of things, accounting the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Who am I? I'm not an Egyptian who's immersed in all of this wealth and riches of Egypt, and I'm going to stay here in my comfortable little world. I'm willing to leave that. And look at verse 25 and 26 again, especially our young people. Look at this again. Look at how Moses chose the harder way. Life is not about choosing the easy way all the time. He chose the harder way. That's the better way. He also looked ahead. Young people, you've got to look ahead. Don't live day by day. Look down the road. Look ahead and make choices now that are best for eternity. And somebody says, well, it might get a little hard. Fine, that's better for you. Look at how he looked ahead. Look at how he chose being a faithful Israelite over the treasures. Look at how he forsook, verse 27, he forsook Egypt. He forsook Egypt. Why? Because who am I? That's not me. I'm not an Egyptian. That's not me. I'm going to leave that behind. And you think about 40 years, brethren. 40 years is a long time. Each of these sections this morning is 40 years. Think back to 1985, June of 1985. That's a long time ago. A lot has happened in 40 years. A lot of experiences, good and bad. A lot of situations, good and bad. That's a long time ago. A lot can happen in 40 years. And you can get so comfortable in Egypt for 40 years that you're starting to change your thinking. Well, I'm an Egyptian now. Moses said no. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, making hard choices, making difficult choices, making long-term choices, making choices that are more difficult than staying in Egypt, but he knows that it's better, and it's the same for us today. So in the first 40 years of his life as prince in Egypt, he answers the question, who am I? I'm not an Egyptian. And I'm going to leave that life behind. And look at Hebrews chapter 11 again with me. We need to have a focus. We need to have a goal. In Hebrews 11:27, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. The word here focuses on the idea of looking away from everything else and focusing on one thing. Looking away from everything else and focusing on one thing. We are so distracted in this world. All this stuff, you know, on our phones and everywhere. And we're just, learn to look away from things and focus on serving God. Moses was not a distracted person. He looked away from everything else and focused and fixed his eyes on serving God. He answered the question, who am I, in this first 40 years? So, this morning, brethren, we need to answer the question. 1 John 3:10, are we a child of the devil, or are we a child of God? Are we serving the world, or are we serving the Lord? You cannot do both. Who am I? Let's make sure that we answer that question properly. And the choice to be a child of God would be considered by many today to be foolish. Just like when the word got out that Moses is not going to hang around Egypt, I bet there was a bunch of Egyptians going, man, that guy is foolish. He's got his meal ticket punched for the rest of his life. He's going to leave Egypt? And so when you become a Christian and you come out of the world and when you stay faithful to the Lord each day, there's a bunch of people around you going, man, that is just silly. That's just foolish. But don't be sidetracked by that. Let's answer the question, who am I? I'm a faithful child of God. I live in a world, but I'm not going to love the world and I'm not going to love the things that are in the world. I am a child of God. That's who I belong to, and that's who I'm going to serve. Turn back with me now to Acts chapter 7, and let's look at the second stage in Moses' life. The stage when he leaves Egypt and he goes out into the land of Midian in Acts chapter 7. Pick up the reading with me now in verse 30. And when 40 years was fulfilled, he had been out in the land of Midian. That's where he had met his wife, Zipporah. That's where he had met his father-in-law, Reuel, also known as Jethro. He had become a shepherd for them. We're going to see that in a minute in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 1. Become a shepherd. He had married. He has a family now, Gershom and Eliezer. Okay, and he's been out there 40 years tending sheep. What happens? What does Stephen say? And when 40 years were fulfilled, an angel appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai in a flame of fire in a bush. Now we're up to Exodus 3. And when Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight. And as he drew near to behold, there came a voice of the Lord. I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. This is the passage that Jesus quotes in Matthew 22 to show that these men are still living. They live on. I am their God, present tense. They're still living after they die. And Moses trembled and dared not behold. And the Lord said unto him, loose the shoes from thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. We sang that this morning. I have surely seen the affliction of my people that is in Egypt, and have heard their groaning, and I am come down to deliver them, and now come, and I will send thee into Egypt. Here's the second turning point. I want you to notice verse 22. It's a turning point in Moses' life. Am I going to stay in Egypt or do something else? Here's the second turning point. Look at verse 34. Come now, I will send thee into Egypt. Do I stay out here in the land of Midian, or do I go do what the Lord wants me to do? And so the second question that Moses answered in his life, and the second question that we need to answer in our life is, where am I? Moses is out here in the desert tending sheep in the land of Midian. He needs to be in Egypt leading the people out. There's nothing wrong with being a shepherd. That's a great thing. Nothing wrong with the land of Midian. That's a great place. But that's not where I need to be. I'm being called to go back to Egypt and lead my people out and do God's will and God's work. Brethren, Moses had married, he had two children, he had a nice father-in-law, he was a shepherd. Look at, turn back with me to Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2, verse 21, there's an interesting verse that is mentioned there. Moses was content to dwell with the man. Underscore that in your Bible. When he got out there, he stayed 40 years out there, he was content. I've got a marriage, I've got a wife, I've got a family now, this is my new home, I'm content to dwell here. And then, boom, in a burning bush, God says, I've got something different for you. So you and I have to ask the question, where am I? Where am I? Am I really where I need to be? Am I really where I need to be? And maybe what we're doing in life may not necessarily be a bad thing. It's just not where we need to be. There's nothing wrong with tending sheep in the land of Midian. Nothing wrong with getting married. Nothing wrong with starting a family. But this is not where I want you to be, God says to Moses. Look at Exodus chapter 2. Verse 23 through 25, the Israelites are crying out, they're oppressed, and God hears their cry. God cares about the Israelites. God cares about His people. He hears their groaning. He remembers them, verse 24, the covenant. And He is choosing a man in this burning bush. I want you to go back to Egypt. Go back to Egypt. Moses has to answer the question, where am I? And where am I best used for the Lord? I'm not asking this morning, am I in Clarksville? I'm not asking this morning, am I in the church building? I'm asking this morning, where am I in life? What am I doing? What purpose am I serving? I need to have some finality to that question. And the sooner I understand that I need to be where God wants me to be in His service, the better off. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 3. Let me talk some more about this period in his life, where Moses is going to have to decide where he wants to be. So in Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, it's the story of the burning bush, and God calls Moses to come and lead the people out of Egypt. Look at verse 11. The first thing that Moses did was he began to offer up a series of excuses. Brethren, if you stay too long in a place where you don't need to be, and you hear that God wants you in some other place, your first reaction is going to be what? Offering up excuses why I can't be in the other place. That's why we have to be careful about staying so long in one place, chapter 2, verse 21, that we get content to dwell there when we read in God's Word, oh, I need to be doing something different. That the first reaction is, well, here's the reasons why I can't do that. So what does Moses do? We're familiar with chapter 3 and 4. The various excuses. First of all, chapter 3, verses 11 through 12. Well, who am I? Who am I to, you know, I can't lead God's people. And then chapter 3, 13 through 22. What will I say? You know, I don't know what to say. And then chapter 4, 1 through 9. They will not believe me. And chapter 4, 10 through 12, I'm not eloquent and I'm not a good speaker. And then in chapter 4, 13 through 17, just send somebody else. The Lord didn't accept his excuses. But that's what happens. When we get content to dwell in a certain place and then we read in the Word of God, oh, I don't need to be in the world, I need to be in the church. What do we do? Well, we make excuses. Or if I am in the church and God wants me to be an elder or a gospel preacher or a deacon or a Bible class teacher or something like that, when we read that in the Word of God and God is calling us to do that, we're like, well, I can't do it for this reason and I can't do it for that reason. You see what happens? We've got to answer the question, where am I? Am I really in the place where God can use me? Then turn with me to Exodus chapter 4, when Moses finally starts going back to Egypt in Exodus chapter 4, 18 through 26. On the way back to Egypt, he hasn't circumcised his son according to the law of Moses. I've been out here in the land of Midian so long that I've not cared about Genesis 17 where God said to Abraham, circumcise your son. And God wants to kill him. That's how bad that is. And Zipporah, his wife, takes a knife and circumcises their son. Listen, brethren, we can't help others unless we're following the Word of God ourselves. Moses cannot lead Israel out of Egypt until he's following the law himself. And so he has to get that matter right. And finally, in chapter 4, 27 through 31, he returns. So the second question, where am I? Will I stay here in Midian and do my own thing? There's so many people today saying that, well, I'm just going to do my own thing. Live my own life. I'm married, I've got two boys, and I like my job of being a shepherd, and my father-in-law, he's pretty cool. I'm just going to hang out here. I'm going to run from responsibility. And yeah, God is calling me to do this in a burning bush, but let somebody else do it. That sounds like a hard job. And he did offer up excuses. And when he realized that God is not accepting these excuses, he answered the question and made the right choice of saying, I need to be in Egypt. I don't need to be hanging out here in Midian. Brethren, we have the same question. Will I stay in the world or will I be in the church where God needs me? And if I'm in the church, will I be just a nominal bench-warming Christian or will I actually be a sacrificial servant that is intimately involved in the local church? Where am I? Where am I? It's a great question. And just like Moses answered the first question right, he answered the second question right. And he went back to Egypt and he begins the last third of his life, the last 40 years from 80 to 120. So turn with me now to Acts chapter 7 and let's look at the last stage of his life. Again, in Acts chapter 7, Stephen is not only giving us three stages, but he's mentioning a key and critical point in each stage. Chapter 7, verse 22. Chapter 7, verse 34. And then let's look at the third section. Verse 36. This man, Moses, led them forth, having wrought wonders and signs in Egypt and the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. Here's your third 40. This is the Moses, by the way, this is Stephen, is answering these charges. You're speaking against Moses, you're speaking against the law, you're speaking against the temple, and you're for Jesus Christ. When he gets to Moses, he says, look, fellas, I am pro-Moses. I am very much for Moses. Moses, I'm not against Moses. I want to tell you about how great this man is. This is the Moses who said unto the children of Israel, a prophet, Deuteronomy 18, 15, a prophet shall God raise up unto you from among your brethren like unto me. This is he that was in the assembly or congregation in the wilderness with the angel that spake to him in Mount Sinai and with our fathers, who received living oracles to give unto us. Number two, I'm not against the law. God gave us the law through Moses. Here's the problem. Look at verse 39. To whom our fathers would not be obedient, but thrust him from them and turned their back of their hearts unto Egypt. That's the problem. I don't have a problem with Moses. I don't have a problem with the old law. The problem is Israel thrust themselves from Moses. They didn't want to follow Moses, and they didn't want to be obedient. To whom our fathers would not be obedient. That's the problem. But look at verse 39. That's the third key verse in this story. For the last 40 years of Moses' life, he led Israel out of Egypt to Canaan land. And he had to answer the question, what am I? What am I? And by that, I mean, am I strong to lead this people or am I weak? What am I made of? Will I exercise faithfulness and patience and endurance? What am I made of? Because the text says that these Israelites would not be obedient. They thrust him from them and turned back in their hearts into Egypt, saying unto Aaron, make us gods, Exodus 32, that shall go before us. For as this Moses who led us forth out of the land of Egypt, we know not what is become of him. And they made a calf in those days and brought a sacrifice unto the idol and rejoiced in the work of their hands. But God turned and gave them up to serve the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets. And then a quotation from Amos. Did you offer up me slain beasts and sacrifices 40 years in the wilderness, O house of Israel? And you took up the tabernacle of Molech and the star of the god Rephan, the figures which you made to worship them, and I will carry you beyond Babylon. Our fathers had the tabernacle of the testimony in the wilderness, even as he appointed who spake unto Moses that he should make it according to the figure that he had seen. And then with that verse, he moves on to the temple. To answer that charge about the temple. And then finally he moves on to Jesus in verse 51 and following. He rounds out those answering those charges. But we'll stop with the story there of Moses. What am I? What am I made of? We don't have time this morning to look at all of the events from Exodus chapter 5 all the way up through Deuteronomy 34, when Moses dies. There's 40 years there, and there are many, many events there that challenged Moses. He has to answer the question, what am I made of? There's first the rejection of Pharaoh and the Egyptians, where Moses went through the 10 plagues. Pharaoh didn't want to let Israel go. In fact, in chapter 5, he made their life more difficult by saying, you have to get your own straw. Right off the bat, Moses faces opposition. In Exodus 13 through 19, he leads them through the wilderness up to Mount Sinai. Look at Exodus 15. 3 days, it said, on the third day, they began to murmur and complain. 3 days into it, they're murmuring and complaining. There's war in Exodus 17. There's a difficult way to judge the people. So many people to judge. Jethro gives Moses some ideas about that, Exodus 18. There's the giving of the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20 and various other laws there. Exodus 32, the golden calf. His own brother let the people loose for a derision among the people. While they're at Mount Sinai, you come to the book of Leviticus, more giving of the law, the tabernacle in the book of Exodus, more laws given in Leviticus, and you come to Leviticus 10, and Nadab and Abihu are offering up strange fire. My two nephews are struck dead by the Lord with fire because they're offering up that which is not commanded by God. They had to deal with that. In Numbers chapter 10, they strike out and they move forward. You get up to Numbers 13 and 14, and the 10 spies bring back an evil report. They won't listen to Joshua and Caleb, and the whole group begins to disbelieve and not have faith. Moses had to intercede for them again. He interceded for them with the golden calf matter, and he interceded for them again in Numbers 14. Come up to Numbers 16, you've got Korah and Dathan and their rebellion. Numbers chapter 12, Aaron and Miriam speak against their own brother Was he the only leader here? Korah's rebellion in Numbers 16. Numbers 20. Moses disobeyed God. He was told to speak to the rock and he struck the rock. His one indiscretion. Next chapter, there's war, Numbers 21. Come up to Numbers 25. The Israelites are committing idolatry and sexual immorality at Peor. So it was so bad that Phinehas takes a spear and thrusts it through a man and a woman who are committing fornication in front of everybody. No shame. Phinehas stopped the plague. Moses had to deal with all these kind of things. Finally get to the plains of Moab, the last 6 months or so of his life. He repeats the law, gives the law again to a new generation. You just think about all that Moses had to go through. What am I? What am I made of? Will I exercise faithfulness and patience and endurance through the good and bad times, or am I just going to be a quitter? Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Beautiful statement said here about Moses. The Hebrew writer is talking about the superiority of Jesus even over Moses. And he makes the point in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 3. For he, Jesus, has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, by so much as he that built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is builded by someone, but he that built all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were afterward to be spoken. He was faithful in all of his house. There's that one exception there in Numbers chapter 20 when he struck the rock. Faithful in all his house. And you start in Exodus 5 and you go all the way to Deuteronomy 34 and you make a list of all those things that he had to endure. What am I? What am I? Will I be strong or will I be weak? Will I break under pressure or will I stay faithful all the way through? What am I? And he answered that question properly. Brethren, Stephen gives us the three periods of the life of Moses. And they're not about just some interesting stories here and there. What it's about is this. A man who in every aspect of his life, beginning, middle, and end, made the right choices and answered the questions properly. Who am I? I'm not someone out in the world. Where am I? I am in the body of God's people serving the way God wants me to serve. And what am I? I am made of fortitude and faith and courage, and I'm not going to give up or quit. What I find interesting about Moses is the things that are said about him outside of the story proper there in the Old Testament. First of all, he's described as a one-of-a-kind man. In Numbers chapter 12, he's described as the meekest man in all the earth. In Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 15, God said to him that I'm going to raise up a prophet like unto you. I want you to read that verse carefully. It doesn't say that Moses would be like Jesus. It said that Jesus would be like Moses. Read that again. That's impressive. For you to be a person that Jesus is going to be like you? Wow. And in our scripture reading this morning in Deuteronomy 34, there was no other prophet that God spoke face to face than Moses. Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 15 and verse 1, holds up Moses as a man of a righteous example to follow. In Matthew chapter 17, verses 3 and 4, Moses spoke with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. And he was the prophet that Jesus was like. Acts 3:22. and Acts 7:37. You want to know why? Because he answered the three important questions in life the right way. Our encouragement this morning is to do the same. Let's go out and do the same. We're going to sing this song of encouragement. There's power in the blood. If we can encourage you to become a Christian this morning, or if we can encourage you to come back and be more faithful as a child of God, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?